The scripture reading today is from Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stories to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. God bless the reading and the hearing of the word.
A little catch-me-up before going further into the reading and the message for the day. For those of you folks who were not able to come on the Ash Wednesday service, we are continuing a series, which will go all the way through Lent, which is about a faith that asks questions. And, to summarize that, a faith that asks questions is a faith that can grow. Because when you ask questions, you learn. You're able to get more depth. You can get beyond the surface things, and by listening to God's voice can go further than you ever would if you hadn't asked questions in the first place. And so over these six Sundays, we're each going to have a word for the day. Today is bread, and there will be other words that come along. But one thing I want to point out to you is that United Methodist Communications is also, as a companion to this study series, is providing an online Bible study. And they have an offering called FaithLink Cafe. It's a Sunday school curriculum. And for Lent, they're doing an online portion of that, too. You get to it at rethinkchurch.org. And this will go live tomorrow morning, according to what I have from them, and we'll go through the end of Lent. And there's a pastor who's going to be teaching on there. They're going to have Bible studies you can read. I also understand that there will be videos and maybe audio to listen to as well. So if this is something that you would like to participate in during Lent, just go to the rethinkchurch.org website. You'll need to create an account, but it's entirely free to you. So it'll just be the time that you would put into it. So to let you know about that, it'll be a companion to what we're doing here. Bread is something that provides a valuable symbol for us as Christians. It serves to remind us that while food may nourish our physical bodies, our souls are nourished by the Word of God. Today, particularly, we're talking about temptation, a life filled with stones and bread. Temptation is something that we're used to talking about in Lent. Matter of fact, you may be very familiar with the scripture that we read today. As a matter of fact, right before this, there were the words which we heard just last Sunday. God has said, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." And now he has been sent into the wilderness. He's been sent in the wilderness as preparation. Very often in our Christian worship, we pray the Lord's Prayer. One of the things that we ask God to do in that prayer is to not lead us into temptation. I think that when Jesus spoke the words that begin, "Now what we pray is the Lord's Prayer," I think that Jesus did this for a reason, because as people, we know very well what temptation is. It's something that we have to deal with every day. And of course, we can think of temptation in terms of big things. You can make a list of the seven deadly sins and find some sort of temptation that attaches to all of those. But there's also more subtle ones. Ones that wiggle through the cracks. Ones that can actually perhaps do more to damage your soul than the big things. Because you got to pay more attention to them. As I said, Jesus went into the wilderness for a time of preparation. He was being prepared for his public ministry, which would follow this time in the wilderness. From his baptism came his identity. He was baptized, and it was confirmed that he is the Son of God. Now comes the next step. The next step is that he has to go to a place where there are hopefully no distractions, so that he can understand what it means to be the Son of God. What is he going to do? What is he going to say? Where will his strength come in? How will he use his strength? And so he's off to the wilderness. And the temptations are offered to him as a way to help him focus in on what it is that he's supposed to be doing. One good thing of what's going on in the temptation in the wilderness, I'm sure that the devil meant it a different way. Typically, a temptation is a test. It's a special kind of test. A temptation is a test that is offered with the expectation that the person who is being tested will fail. The temptation that we're reading about here in Matthew's gospel is actually the kind of temptation that we saw with Abraham and Isaac in the wilderness. God was testing Abraham not so that he could see if he'd actually kill his own child, but to see if he would be faithful. And in that moment, God provided. When Jesus was in the wilderness, God provided. And the temptation that was put before him only served to make his faithful discharge of his mission stronger. And so, temptation isn't necessarily a bad thing. Matter of fact, in this account of Jesus' temptation, there's actually a lot of hope in these passages. There's good news to be found in these stories. And it's very much like when you and I claim our baptism as Christians and we move forward into the life that God has prepared for us. We're no longer held back by the failings of the past. We've been made new, we've been filled with the Spirit, and we're being sent forth. Jesus was sent into the wilderness with a purpose. When we're baptized and later confirmed, very much in the same way, we are sent into the world with a purpose. With that purpose, we accomplish God's work. The temptations that came to Jesus were temptations to achieve success on his terms and to bring glory upon himself. Just as we are tempted after our baptisms to do that. But in this moment, just like in so many of them, God turns the expectations of human reasoning on its ear, upside down. And so ultimately, the victory in the wilderness did not come from force or strength, but from humility. And so there we see one of the valuable lessons, the hopeful lessons that come out of the wilderness. There's three temptations that Jesus underwent in his time in the wilderness. The first temptation is a temptation to puff himself up. An old word for this was vainglory. A more modern way that we might say that is that it's boasting that we would make to make ourselves seem greater than we really are. The second temptation of Jesus is the temptation to try and manipulate God to our own ends. In this case, the temptation that the devil offered was to misuse Scripture. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. The third temptation that Matthew records is the temptation to promote himself over God's desires. In other words, to put his agenda before God's agenda. And these should all be familiar because these are all temptations that we face in our life in one form or another. So the one thing that draws all of these together into one common thread, it's all about priorities. Whose priorities will we put first? So here we go. Whose priorities will go first? In the temptation to turn stones into bread, the temptation really has nothing to do with whether or not Jesus was able to do that, but whether or not he would do that. If you go back into Exodus and Deuteronomy, where we read about the manna and the quail, it's really interesting to look at that because this is something that reflects back on that. When the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were hungry, God provided for them. He provided bread and meat. And we're accustomed to thinking of manna as bread, but actually manna is not bread. It's a word from God. It's because when the children of Israel were watching this flaky white bread stuff come down out of the sky, they were all looking and looking at each other and going, manna? It's a Hebrew phrase that said, you know, what is it? What's this stuff? Manna? Because they didn't know what it was. And so really, with the miracle of the manna and the quail, there was two miracles going on there. There was a miracle of provision in that God provided bread and meat so that they wouldn't starve, or at least their bodies wouldn't starve. But he also provided the word so that their souls would not starve. And so when the devil tempts Jesus to turn stones into bread, what he's really tempting Jesus to do is to ignore the Word of God, to proceed with his own desires, his own perceptions, and to not trust that in the wilderness God will provide. And you know, for folks like us, or you know, we're from hardy pioneer stock, and independence and the ability to survive is something that we consider to be a virtue. Sometimes that can be a hard thing to hear when we're used to doing everything for ourselves. So sometimes just to trust and rely can be a hard thing to do. In the next temptation, Jesus is taken to a very high place on the wing of a temple, part of the architectural feature of a temple. And what this temptation involved, the devil said that, go ahead, jump, throw yourself off. And before you hit the ground, one of God's angels will come and catch you, and you won't even get a bruise on your little toe. And in this case, the devil quotes, it's a little bit of Psalm 91 that he quotes, which says that the angels will bear you up so you won't cast your foot upon a stone. And again, just like with the bread, Jesus reminds the devil of what the text means in context. Because the part the devil didn't mention was the Son of God crushing the serpent under his heel. Never showed up. It can be a real temptation to use Scripture as some sort of special book that we can justify what it is that we want or do. And from Jesus' example here, we're remembering that we have to love the Lord with heart and soul and mind and strength, with everything that we are. And in that completion, we have to remember to listen to God's word in its entirety. We can't cherry pick with the things that we'd rather not deal with. And when we're helping other people understand Scripture, the same principle applies, that we don't misuse Scripture for our own priorities. The third temptation, to promote himself over God's desires. You know, I almost wonder if Matthew recorded this one to give us something to laugh at, because really the content of this is approaching ludicrous. So we have Jesus and the devil up in a high mountain, and the devil shows Jesus the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory, shows them all the beautiful and exciting things that are going on in these kingdoms, and he says, if you will but bow down and worship to me, I will give you all of this. Now, why is this ludicrous? Unbelievable? Okay, in practical terms, the devil says he is going to take away everything from everybody and give it to one person so that all but one person in the world can hate him while that one person that's left will worship him. I mean, it's like me going through the pews and like taking a wallet from everybody and giving it to one person. If only that person would worship me. It's ludicrous. And once again, Jesus relies on the word of God for his response. And so the devil leaves. And the teaching behind that third temptation is that we should never live life in such a way where we say that the ends justify the means. And as I said, just like Jesus, when we're baptized, when we're confirmed, we're being prepared. We're being prepared for growth in God's grace. We're being prepared for completion. We're being prepared so that when we are in the wilderness, we know that we'll be taken care of. We know that even though life has stones, God will provide bread that will keep us fed and strong and safe. And even when temptations come our way, They don't need to take us down. And all we need to remember is to rely on the Word of God, and we won't be taken down. Now, how does this come out in practical terms? I wrote down a few things here. You might say no to the stones of using drugs by relying on God and living a clean life. You might say no to revenge because you have said yes to forgiveness. You might say no to temptation because you've said yes to self-control. You might say no to Satan because you said yes to Jesus. You might say no to racism because you have chosen to say yes to justice. You might say no to oppression because you've said yes to love. You might say no to crankiness. Well, we get cranky once in a while. You might say no to crankiness because you've said yes to kindness. And so on and so on. Generally, you can tell if somebody's relying on the Word of God in their life because they'll be acting differently in a good way. Jesus is our God and our Savior. He's our teacher and our guide. And if we've learned anything here today, it's that we can trust God. We don't have to give in to the temptation to believe that God is some sort of heavenly vending machine that will grant us what we desire. We learn from the Scripture that miracles from God are not something that you're intended to walk up and to claim for yourself. And I know that name it, claim it stuff is pretty popular, and you know, I wouldn't mind being able to like claim a Hummer for myself, but it doesn't work that way. God will do what God will do. For his purposes and for the advancement of his purposes. And we serve a part in that. In the Scripture, we're learning that the Word of God enriches our lives. And it does so because God loves us. Ultimately, God, through Jesus, has taught us that when we live in faith, at the right moment, when seemingly the only thing in our lives are stones, God will take those stones and turn them into bread. Will you pray with me? Lord God, sometimes temptation can be so hard to handle. The things that are offered to us, if we will just turn away from you, even for a moment, are so seductive that sometimes, Lord, we just don't know where to turn. And we pray, Father, that when these temptations come our way, we would remember the promises that were made at our baptism, that were made when we were confirmed in the faith, and that we remember that relying on your word is all that we will ever need, and that when we are in the wilderness, you will provide. Send us forth now as faithful disciples, filled with the Spirit, nourished by your bread, and borne up over the stones. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.